Good gonna happen. There is something good in store. Peter said that the devil, like a roaring lion, walks about seeking who he may devour. He's going to do absolutely everything he can possibly do to scare you and get you to react. When you see something drastic happen, just stop and ask God what to do next. We're in a time where we're going to see lying signs and wonders. Not everything you see is the truth. Not everything you hear is the truth. You may see something with your physical eyes that is a complete lie. The blessing of the Lord is fixing to pour out on this world. But the devil is going to do absolutely everything he can do to try to destroy that and deceive you into believing that it's not real. He will try to cause you to believe that there's something else that can save you. Salvation is in the name of the Lord only. Jesus is the only one that can save you. We need to get ready for the biggest gut punch we've ever had. Is that the election wasn't a bad enough gut punch? It's got a lot of Christians believing that they're out and it's done. You're going to take time to listen to the Lord God and His prophecy. There are going to be some terrible looking things happen. Only Jesus can save you. Not the government, not anybody else. The devil thrown false flags all over the world, all over the country, trying to get people's focus off of what's actually happening. I believe one day you're going to wake up and you're going to see footage of Trump being assassinated. Don't believe it. It's a lie. He's not going to get assassinated. The devil is not going to win. He's going to try everything in the world to get you to not believe that Jesus wins. There are a lot of Christians that already have given up and said that the devil is going to get away with whatever he wants to do, as if the devil is better than Jesus. I had doubt, and I didn't know that song was coming up. I didn't have any idea that's what he wanted me to say exactly, but there it is.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, we serve a great God. This song reflects that. He's the King of all kings. The splendor of the King. Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, the world will see, how great is our God,
Paul told us to discern the body of Christ. And he gave us directions on how to do that. When God gave directions on how to make this bread, he did it for a specific purpose. Remember, the Old Testament is full of types and shadows of Jesus. This bread signifies his body. You notice this bread, it's called matzo bread. And it's flat, but it's made without yeast. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. Jesus' body had no sin. Amen. Till he took ours. His bread was beaten flat. Jesus was beaten and bruised for us. And this bread has been pierced. Everywhere Jesus shed his blood is significant because we get some redemption from it. Not only was he pierced, everybody knows about when the Roman soldier pierced him when he was on the cross, put a spear in his side, but he was pierced in his hands, and he was pierced in his feet, and he was pierced in his scalp. If you ever get a chance and you to get into a Catholic church, sometimes we have events there, on purpose, find the Stations of the Cross. A lot of times they have the Stations of the Cross. And you go all the way around that church and look at the Stations of the Cross. That's places that Jesus shed his blood. And they have really cool prayers on there. Then the bottom one is praying to Mary. Don't go there. But the prayer above it is really cool. Because it talks about what he redeemed for us when he shed his blood at this certain spot. Also, this bread has stripes in it. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. Now, if you look at this bread, it's slightly burned. It means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus. God treated Jesus like we deserved to be treated so that he could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. His body was broken. And we take this for our healing and our well-being, and we praise him for it. The devil thought he was just killing Jesus. What he didn't know is that every time he inflicted something on him, some blood hit the ground. And it was a vicious sacrifice, and it was intentional, and it was ordained by God to be a bloody sacrifice. As that blood is the most powerful substance that's ever been released on this earth. And that blood has done something that nothing else could have ever done. It defeated sin, it defeated death, and it defeated hell. And it made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, so that we can go boldly into his throne room and receive grace and mercy in time of need. Well, we do have Benny was here from the orphanage in Mexico, and we decided that we was going to make a commitment to partner with them, and we did that. Well, one of the members from the church that Benny goes to down there is here, and he said that he would give us an update. Can you come up?
Yeah, it's Albert.
Albert.
Good morning. They haul trailers for Big Ben Traders. They've been hauling trailers for we're blessed to be here. I didn't come here to speak to you guys. But Jim asked to give a little bit of a report on Vida 180. I don't have a lot directly to do with it, but they're growing and they're doing a wonderful job over there. We're helping them personally and as a church, so it's wonderful to see how they change and take what people throw out as dirt and
It's like the singer sings that he creates gold out of ashes, and that's what we see out there. Mm-hmm. And a little bit about our church, Jim asked me if I wanted to share a little bit. You know, first of all, God says where two or three are gathered, there he is also. You guys are gathered in a small group. You honor God, you worship God, you seek his face. God is going to reward you for it. He's here with you. And he gave us a commission all, and it is to go out into the world and to preach the word of God and to speak it. And for you guys, it is here among your people. For us, it is among our people. We are a bigger church, but we felt the call to preach the word of God in a practical way so that the low German-speaking people could understand it, because there's a lot of speaking, or a lot of churches that would... that would speak the service, but it's not clear enough spoken that people can take it home and use it through the week. So we have really focused on that and preaching practical messages so that people can take it home and use it for his kingdom. And it's been amazing to see what God has done over the last 12, 13 years in our church. How he has used people and how people have come together and have just... The kingdom of God has grown, and we've been able to... live streaming into areas. Me and Jim were speaking this morning, and I said, when I was a small boy, I grew up, and the Bible says, you know, the whole earth will know his word before he will come back. And I was like, how is that going to happen? You know, like, how are we going to get it into the jungles and everywhere? And lo and behold, 20, 30 years later, here I am, and we got internet, and you guys are spreading the word of God through internet and through YouTube, and so are other people. You know, let's use what we got. God gave us stuff that we can use to proclaim his word. Yeah. And now all of a sudden I see, you know what, there's a possibility that the whole world and that all the nations and all the languages, they will actually hear God's word. I can see it happening. Yeah. And it can happen through here, and it can happen through wherever we go. It is more how we live, and people will see us. Jim said, you know what, people are looking at the people that go to this church because you're non-denominational. You know what? Yeah, they will. And we will be criticized. When we started our church 14 years ago, people, they made fun of us, and they said, you know what, that's where all the dust blows together, because we took in the sinners. And I always say, you know what, if the church is not open for sinners, what are we here for?
That's right.
If people don't feel welcome in church, where should they be feel welcome? And God has blessed us, and I just want to speak blessings on you guys. You know what, don't give up because you maybe don't have a full house. Go continue to spread the word of God, live it out on a daily basis. God will bless you. God has blessed us in mighty ways, and I see that he's blessing you guys through whatever you guys are doing. Remember that church is not on Sunday morning. It's from Sunday to Sunday. Every day of the week, we're the living church. We're God's feet on the ground. He proclaims us, and he says that we are to go out. We are to spread the word of God. In Matthew 28, and I just want to encourage you guys, don't give up. There's people out here, there's people in the community that need to hear God's word, that need to be drawn in, and God is going to use you guys to do that. Mm-hmm. We do it every Sunday morning. We have a big church compared to what you guys have, but that's not about the numbers. I sometimes say, you know, if we see the numbers stay even, there's no growth and people coming in, well, is there growth spiritually? Mm-hmm. It's not about the numbers. Are we growing spiritually? Are we growing closer to God? Are we getting closer to him? And if it's 10 people or 1,000 people, it's not really the difference. It's where is our relationship with God. So, Vida 180 is doing good. They've had some rocky things going on in their things where Satan was attacking them, but thank God they've been able to win them. If we've had it in our church, we've been through ups and downs, and God has taken us through deep valleys and where we just needed to learn to trust him and grow closer to him, and God is doing mighty things. You know, God is preparing us for the end times, and I think that we may be the generation that will see that one day. And I shared with Jim a little bit this morning. It's about a month ago. I was having my daily devotion, and I was struggling with some of the things in the business world, and how am I going to coordinate everything, and how am I going to make it work? And all of a sudden, the thought just came into my mind, you know, for me it was, you know, will I find enough drivers? Will I find enough people to office work, to just do things? And God just told me, you know, what about my kingdom? You know what? I am out here too, and I'm struggling. Who can I put to work here, and who can I put to work there, you know? So who are we? We're getting surrounded by business and everything. That's good. God has blessed us with businesses to help his kingdom. Let's don't forget what our ultimate calling is on earth. We are here to change the world for Him. Hell will be emptier one day and heaven will be fuller because of the things that we've done. Our slogan as a church is love God and serve people. And that's what we try to do every day. And you guys are doing it too. You know, go out there, proclaim the word of God. Don't let your feet down. There's lots to win out there.
All right. Praise God. You know, sometimes in the word of faith circles, the word hope gets kind of beaten, you know, because people misunderstand and people get misdirected. But in the word of faith circles, you're supposed to be all about faith. And if anybody says anything about hope, then a lot of times people will say, oh, that's not faith. Hope's not going to get the job done. Biblical hope is an earnest expectation of something good happening. You need to have hope. You need to get that hope built up in your body, in your spirit, in your soul, and be believing that God is going to do something good for you. Amen?
Yeah.
That's biblical hope. That there is something good. You've got to latch on to that. Now that's different than faith. Faith and hope are not the same thing. But you have to have hope. The Bible tells us that hope is the anchor for our soul. Think about that for a minute. Hope is the anchor for our soul. Have you ever ran into anybody that just didn't care anymore? They were done. They were going to let drugs and alcohol, whatever else, rule and live. However, what happened there? They gave up hope and they lost their soul. You have to have something that you can anchor into, that you can sink your teeth into, hang on to. It's got to be something from the Bible. It's got to be Jesus. I told you we're headed into some interesting times, and it's going to be very interesting. Seems like every time, some of my biggest blessings that I ever received from God, just before that, it was like the forces of hell were just grinding away. And it was just like every step you took, there was another annoying thing just grinding. And the devil doing absolutely everything he could do to get me to give up. Don't give up. See, I could feel it in my spirit that something good was going to happen. Every time, I could feel it in my spirit. I couldn't see it. I didn't know how it was going to happen. I just knew that something good was going to happen. And the devil would just keep on putting pressure and pressure and pressure to try to get me to give up. Don't give up. Keep going. Hope, that earnest expectation of something good happening to you, is the anchor for your soul. Amen? Keep going forward. People give up too easy. They just quit. The world has an excuse. The people of the world, they have an excuse. They don't have Jesus to anchor their soul. Unfortunately, there's a whole bunch of church people running around that have given up and say, well, the devil, he's just going to do whatever it is he wants to do. That's people that do not know their God. They know about God, but they don't know Him. Remember, Wednesday we talked about the To have confidence in somebody, you have to know them. You know, if Trevor told me that he was going to bring me a fat prime yearling steer, a two-year-old steer, delivered to my house on the hoof, I'd say, well, I know that squirrel. He doesn't know nothing about a cow except for it goes moo and it's the main ingredient in hamburger. If Jim told me something like that, I'd build a pen. Because I know him. See, if you don't know somebody, this is why people have a hard time in prayer. They don't know God. They know about Him. They've heard about Him. They've maybe been to church for 30 years, but they've been born again, but they don't know the truth about God. In order to have confidence in God, you're going to have to understand that your sins have been judged on that cross. And that Jesus took them all and washed away all of your sins with His blood. And He made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There's that word. You'll find out so much of life balances on that word righteousness. And it's not just some religious word that gets thrown around. You have to understand that righteousness is not right doing. See, that gets taught a lot. It says, you do this right, you do this right, you do this right, you can expect to be blessed. Paul said, I don't frustrate the grace of God, because if righteousness came by works, which is your right doing, you're doing this right, you performing this right, and you doing this right, then Christ is dead in vain. What's that mean? He died for nothing. If you can earn your blessings by your good works and your good behavior, then Christ died for nothing. Righteousness in Christ is right believing. Believing what He did for you in that sacrificial work, where He took your place and died for your sins so that you could take His place and receive what He deserved. Amen? That's how we have confidence in God, in knowing we can't deserve it and we can't earn it. And that Jesus is the only one that could ever fulfill the law. And He's the only one that could ever be good enough. But since I asked Him to be my Lord, He put me in a covenant with God that's in Him. And that God doesn't look at me. He looks at the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus. He gave us a picture of that in the Old Testament. When they take a lamb to the high priest, the sinner will be here, the lamb would be here. The high priest would look at that lamb and examine it and make sure this lamb met the specifications, had to be spotless, had to be perfect, had to be pure. When that passed specifications, then they went ahead and sacrificed this lamb. And the sinner went away clean because God didn't look at the man, He looked at the lamb. See, Jesus, our lamb. How do you suppose God sees Jesus right now? Perfect in every way? As He is, so are you now in this world. Amen? Okay, open up your Bibles to Matthew We read this last Sunday, or last Wednesday, we read this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, "Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receives. He that seeks, receives. And he that seeks, findeth. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" You got to believe that God is a good God, and that he loves you, and that he has good in store for you. Too many people are going through life acting like God has this chalkboard on his wall. And when you go to church, you get a gold star. And when you skip church, you get a lightning bolt. And then someday, when you get enough gold stars, you'll get a blessing. But someday, if you get too many lightning bolts, there you go. That's not the way God works. He has no curse for you whatsoever. If he punished you for a sin, then the punishment that Jesus took was not good enough. In God, there is no darkness. He is 100% light. Absolute pure light. In him is no darkness. That means there's no curse in him. He is out to bless you. He needs you to stop and receive it. Believe he's a good God, a loving Father. Amen? Get your hope built up in him and let him bless you. You know, he doesn't withhold any good thing from his children. If deliverance from dangers, preservation from evil, bodily healing and health, material prosperity, or any other answer to prayer is a good thing, then ask to receive it. No longer question the will of God in the matter. It is already his will, or this teaching is false. These words in red right here, you have to determine whether this is the truth or a lie. Eric, it's in red. That means Jesus said it. So it's the truth. 100% infallible. Jesus said it. That's final. Now go to chapter 17, verse 20. Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." You should circle that with your favorite crayon. Bookmark it. "Nothing shall be impossible unto you." A lot of people need to read that. Nothing is impossible unto you. The only limitations that you have on your life are the ones that you have accepted from somebody else. Not God. Not God. Well, God, the sky's the limit. There's a lot of people living life like they're beat down by somebody else. It's only because they've accepted it. I don't know if you ever seen the pocket constitutions, the little pocket constitutions that we pass out all over the place. Does it say in there that some men are created equal? Does it say in there that you have to be a certain color? Does it say in there that you have to have a certain education? It says in there that all men are created equal by God. All men. That's mankind, because women are created equal to you. They have the same constitution, but you have the same Bible. This Bible says that nothing shall be impossible unto you. Not everything you've been taught in school or life has been the truth. It may be a fact that you don't have two pennies to rub together at the moment. But the truth is that God has freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. And it is the Bible truth that God said he would supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen? You have to be careful what you see and what you listen to. Your spirit, if you will listen to your spirit, the Holy Spirit inside of you will give you a check engine light when there's something false. If you don't believe me, turn CNN on and tell me your spirit doesn't say, no, that's not right. But you have to learn to be led by the Spirit. The Bible says that as many as are the sons of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. So you have to stop sometimes and be quiet and let him talk to you and guide you. But I really like that. He said, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now go down to verse 27. It says, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook, take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take give unto them for me and thee. So this is Jesus talking again. So we know absolutely it's 100% the truth. He said, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Well, Peter went out there, cast a hook in the sea, and got a fish with a gold coin in it. That sounds pretty impossible. He said, again, a simple complete answer. This is still the reason for failure to cast out demons and for unanswered prayers of every kind. That God promises answers to all on condition one is in Christ, be born again, and that he doubts not. If you have faith, it will be done whatever you say. But if you do not have faith, it will not be done. Faith, fear, and unmixed with doubt, as a grain of mustard seed can even move a literal mountain. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing that is promised by God's word or that is good for his children. One of the worst teachings in the church today is people will say that sometimes God says yes, and sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says later. You cannot find that in the Bible. That is not the truth. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell, and too many pastors have picked it up and run with it and given it to people as an answer for unanswered prayer. The promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. He gives us specific directions on who to pray to, how to pray, and what to pray. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, and we ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to help us in these prayers. We depend on Him. God said to return His word to Him. That's how we pray. We take His word and we say it back to Him. You're not going to get in trouble for plagiarizing. Biden's rat fink, he gets in trouble for plagiarizing. We're told by God to take His word and remind Him of it. That means repeat it to Him exactly in the name of Jesus. How do we do that? Go to Him and say, Father, Your word says, for I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for my sake He became poor, and I through His poverty have been made rich. Thank You for this. Jesus got on the cross, He took my place, and because of it, He put me in a place of prosperity. Your word says, this is when you really feel like a rat fink. You blew it. You got in the flesh. You cussed out somebody in the post office because they weren't wearing a mask. Well, whatever. You got to go home and you got to say, Father, forgive me for this. In the name of Jesus, I'm so sorry. No. No. You go home and you say, Father, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You made me the righteous. You put me in right standing with You. My sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus continually cleanses me from all sin. Father, I do ask You in the name of Jesus to help me keep my flesh under control. Amen. But thank You that I'm forgiven. And don't you feel guilty about that for one more second. Don't you feel condemnation. Don't you accept condemnation. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You're not to be receiving condemnation. Because condemnation comes from the devil. Amen? You know, here's a quick gauge for you to find out if you're trying to live by the law or live by grace. If you feel guilty for breaking the law, guess what? If you start feeling condemnation for mistakes that you've made, guess what? You've been trying to live by your own efforts and not by the grace of God. Does that mean that we go break the law? No, no. No, the Bible tells us that when we receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, that will rule and reign over sin. See, the law will break a man, but grace will give a man a break. Is there anybody in here that has ever been able to fulfill the law? Is there anybody in here that has ever been able to do anything good enough to deserve to be blessed? Sometimes people try awful hard. And it's a struggle for people. But people want to put in effort to receive a blessing from God. The Bible tells us that we've been seated in Christ. I mean, we're sitting down. I mean, the work is done. The Bible tells us that you have been made kings and priests. As kings, you declare things, and as priests, you offer up praise to God. So you need to focus on Jesus and His grace. When you see Him in His grace, faith is going to happen in your heart. You'll receive the things that He did for you on that cross. You'll receive the blessings. Don't chase that blessing. Chase Jesus. Chase the blessings, you're going to end up in a rabbit hole somewhere. But if you go to the blesser, all the blessings are there. They're all wrapped up in Him. I'll cover this thing in verse 27 that we just read. About 64 cents, evidently. That's what that gold coin was worth. Evidently, they didn't have the IRS yet. It was enough for both Christ and Peter to pay the tax. This is a notable miracle. If the money was in the fish, it took a miracle to know it was there. If it was not in the fish, it took a miracle to get the fish to go get the money and bring it to Peter. Jesus here shows another example of material supply. Nothing is impossible to the believer. Absolutely nothing is impossible to the believer. Believe God for something big. Believe God for an enormous thing. Believe God for a miracle. Believe God. Let God be God in your life. People wonder why they don't reach new heights because they're always shooting for the doorknob. Well, if I don't expect very much, then I won't be too heartbroken when I don't get it. Shoot for the moon. Shoot for the moon. You're not going to hurt God's feeling by believing Him for a lot. You're not going to stretch Him. Or He said He'd supply all your needs according to your riches. Not out of His riches, but according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We talked about this, you know, $500 and I give Mike 50. I mean, I took it out of my riches. Now I've got 50. I mean, the 75 that I owe Jody, she's only going to get 50. Because I took it out of my riches. But God said it's according to His riches. I mean, if He takes a couple thousand, it's according to His riches. It was like that couple thousand wasn't even missing. He's got a couple thousand over here for you. And He's got more over here for you. I mean, He can bless people all over the world and nobody's going to get short of blessing. See how that works? It's according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Get your hope built up in the Lord. Believe God. He's going to do something good. And he already has done something good. And you're just waiting to receive it. It's there. Keep believing him. No, the devil hasn't won. No, the devil isn't going to get away with whatever he wants to do. No, the devil is not in control. The devil is a rat pink. And he's defeated. God wins. And so do you. Believe for the good things in life. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and his resurrection. And everything that he's doing for us right now at the right hand of God as our high priest, making our prayers perfect before you. And thank you, Father, for everything that Jesus will do when he comes and gets us and completes our salvation, completes our redemption, and we see him as he is. And we will be forever with him. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, yeah, some coffee and snacks back here, fellowship. Everybody's welcome to come back and have some.